Well, we did some things today that are eternal already. We prayed, and God values our prayer. We're going to pray again. And God values our prayers so much that he keeps them in heaven. He stores them. You remember growing up, maybe you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and they'd sent you these nice little notes, and you just kept those things. You know, Cindy has, I think, every letter that I've ever written to her. And she kept them because they're precious. And that's the way God feels about us when we pray. And then after we're done with that, I'll just give you a preview of what's going to happen. We're going to study the only thing that we'll ever come into in this life on this earth that's absolutely perfect. And that's the Bible. So let's begin by praying. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the privilege it is to know you and follow you and to love you. Lord, give us an unending love for your word and for your people too. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and our church. And we trust all these things to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you have a copy of the scriptures, if you have a Bible, turn in it to 1 John chapter 5. And I'll be reading from verses 10 through 13. And I added verse 13 to the end of this chapter because it seems to be like a transitional verse. It's actually in the next paragraph. But it contains two words that are part, one goes to the one part and the next part, next word goes to the other part. So it's kind of transitional between the two. So let's start out by reading 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has his testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Then verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. In reading through this passage and thinking about it all week, I think the key word is believe. It's kind of puts brackets around those four verses. Believe, believe, believe. Believing God's witness about his Son. And it says, there's an adjective there that tells us something about this witness. It says that it is greater. And the Greek word there is megas, megas. Kind of reminds me of our past president, our former president, you know, had mega stuff. But it's not quite spelled the same way, but it means the same. Big, something really, really big, something supreme, something greater, something bigger, something extremely more important than anything that man has to say. That's a comparison between what God says, his witness to us, compared to what man says. No comparison. You know, there was a guy who was in Chicago. It was his first day in Chicago. And, you know, Chicago's a pretty rough place, isn't it? And he was there with his girlfriend, and he came around the corner, and these other guys came up to him and said, "Hey, buddy, you got a light?" And this guy said, "Sure, here you go." And then he pulled out a switchblade. He said, "Okay, now your wallet." And his girlfriend said to her boyfriend, "Nick, give him your wallet." And Nick said, "What for?" And she said, Nick because he's got a knife. And he looked at this guy and he said, "That's not a knife." And he pulled this big knife out of his sheath in the back of his pants and says, "This is a knife." And those guys ran away. You know, that was the end of the discussion. They had a little knife. He had a big knife. That's comparison, perfect comparison here in this passage. What men say is little. What God says is huge. It's big. Occasionally, I look at my phone during the week, and one thing that popped up on my phone was Myles Garrett playing basketball this week. You know, if I played basketball against Myles Garrett and he came down the lane, you know, what I would do is I just kind of pivot. Here, Myles, you could just go to the hoop if you want to. I'm not gonna stand in your way. You know, he's 6'4". He's 280 pounds. He runs a 4.640, and he has a 41-inch vertical leap. I mean, he's standing. You're standing there dead on your feet, and you jump that high. You jump that high. I can't jump that high. I've never been able to jump that high. I will never, ever be able to jump that high. And then if you turn it around, and I know this probably won't stick out there, but, you know, I'm 6'3", he's 6'4", so that's how high he can jump. You know, that is above the square, above the back, the rim on the basketball court. How can you play basketball against somebody like that? You can play against somebody like that. But I watched him and he had some game film about him. And he played against Texas A&M in one game. And quarterback went back with the ball and he thought he was going to throw it over top of Miles. Throw it over top of Miles. He can jump, you know, over 10 feet tall. And so he throws the ball and Miles just jumps up, tips it, catches it. Now there's a real problem because that quarterback who weighs about 200 pounds, and everybody knows no quarterback likes to get hit, at least anybody that I ever played with, any quarterback I like to play with, like to get hit. He has to hit this guy. And Miles is running like full speed, head on. And the quarterback has to make a decision about what he's going to do. What are you going to do with this thing that's bigger? That makes you look really small. You have to make a decision. The Word of God is big. It's bigger than anything that we face, anything we hear in this life. And guess what? When we read the Bible, it comes right at us, doesn't it? And we have to make a decision about what God says. And that's what this passage is doing. God's testimony to us is coming right at us. It's living. Almost every verb is like present tense. This is today, now. We have to make a decision about this. This is God's testimony. Worse than Myles Garrett. I mean, bigger than Myles Garrett, if that's possible. Let's look at four explanations of God's testimony to us from these verses. Four explanations to us today. First is the responsibility of the testimony. Look at verse 10. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has his testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given him about his Son. God's testimony is about his Son. And that testimony must be believed. And the word there for belief is pistuo, the normal word for believe in the Bible. This thing that God is telling us must be accepted. Because that decision we make about God's testimony about his Son determines our eternal destiny. When we believe in him, when we trust in him, the Holy Spirit saves us, regenerates us, indwells us. It results in cleansing from sin and forgiveness of sin. But we have to receive. We have to receive God's word. We have to receive what God says about Jesus. We have to have confidence in what it reveals about how to receive eternal life. And then respond to it in a positive, not a negative fashion. When we reject this testimony, we add that sin to our other sins. We have to trust Christ as Savior, and He will save us. There's no other way. That's the way it is. There's a story told about a situation in Harlem. Does everybody know where Harlem is? Okay, kind of. It's New York, kind of. And there was a big fire there. There was a building that was on fire, apartment building that was on fire. And there was a small girl who was perched, you know, on the fourth floor windowsill. I mean, outside the building, outside the room of the apartment that she lived in. And the firemen, you know, and we have really good firemen, but they couldn't get the ladder truck between the buildings where this little girl was. Nor, when they tried to convince her to jump into the net they had below, she wouldn't do that because she couldn't see the net. She couldn't see that anything was down there. So her dad arrived and shouted through a bullhorn that there was a net below that she could jump into. And after hearing her father, she jumped, and as she jumped, she was completely relaxed. She trusted her life so completely to her father that she didn't even break any bones in the fall into that net that day. She knew his voice. She trusted him. She trusted what he said because she knew that he knew best. Just like Everett read for us earlier, wasn't it? The sheep know what? The sheep know his voice and they respond to it. And that's the responsibility of the testimony in verse 10. It's our responsibility to believe the testimony that God has given to us about his son. That's the first explanation. The second explanation is the content of the testimony in verse 11. It says in verse 11, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. So this verse is about the content or the record. If you have a King James, I think it says record about eternal life. It has one source. Eternal life has one source. It's from God. It's not from man. Men cannot save us. No matter how smart they are, no matter how good they are, they can't save us. Only God can save us. And not only that, but it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. It's something that's given to us. It's not earned. It's not a reward for hard work. No matter how hard we work, it's not a reward for anything we might do. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 kind of reminds us of that, isn't it? Doesn't it? For by grace you have been saved. Guess what? It's not by who? It's not by us. It's what? It's a gift. So that we might not do what? We might not say, hey, look how good I am. So we might not boast. But it's all given to us by our Savior. Next thing it tells us in that verse is that it's personal. It's personal. It's given to not just them, but to us. It's personal. It's received on an individual basis. You know, the same guy that wrote 1 John also wrote the Gospel of John. And in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 of the Gospel of John, it says this, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. It's personal. It's given to each one of us as each one of us puts our faith and trust in Him. Not only is it personal, but it's forever. It's eternal. It's permanent. Look at John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. It's on 897 in the Pew Bible. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Hopefully I can find it. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Nobody can get us away from God. Not anybody can. Nobody can snatch them out of God's hand. It's forever. It's permanent. And you know what? It's exclusive. It's special. It's in His Son. There are not many ways to God, but only one. And that's through Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's the content of the testimony we have in verse 11. Jerry Bridges is a guy who writes books about how to know Jesus better. Says there are three means by which God assures us that we do have eternal life. The first one is the promises of God's word. The second one is the witness of His Spirit in our tickers, in our hearts, right here. The Spirit witnesses to us. He confirms us that we belong to Him. And the third way is through the transforming work of the Spirit in our lives. He changes us. He makes us new from the inside out in ways that we would have never imagined that He would have done this. The Word of God works in us by the Spirit's will, the Spirit's purpose for us. The third point is the assurance of the testimony. I have to go back and find 1 John again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. We have part of this verse on our church sign today. "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The one who possesses the Son possesses life. The one who doesn't possess the Son does not have life." It's kind of black and white, isn't it? I don't know how else you could say it like clearer than that. It just it's there. You can't deny it. Because life is in Him. Jesus is our lifeline. Jesus is our only hope. Without Jesus, we are totally lost. And the verb in this verse, having eternal life, is in the present tense. So this is a present reality that we have. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we have life right now. Today, we have life. He's given us life. It's real. It's good. But there's only two possible responses to God's witness about Jesus Christ. It's coming right at us, isn't it? It's like Miles Garrett. He's coming right at us. We got to make this tackle or we don't make the tackle. You got to believe. And it makes it clear what that belief has to be. Notice this verse doesn't say, "He who belongs to the church has life." People say that I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I belong to the Church of God. Therefore, I've punched my ticket. I'm in. I'm going to be there. But it doesn't matter to which church a person belongs. I mean, church membership is a good thing. But church membership does not mean a person is saved. What does matter is if a person has Christ as their personal Savior. You can't get the cart before the horse. It's important. Yeah, it's a good thing. But that doesn't save us. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. Knowing Jesus personally, that's what saves us. And the final explanation about God's testimony I found in verse 13. And I absolutely love verse 13. I've used verse 13 many times in witnessing to people. You can tell right where somebody is. If they tell you, after reading this verse, I'm working on it, or I think so, or maybe, and guess what? They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the Bible if they're telling you that. This is what verse 13 says. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you might know that you have eternal life. You might know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know, as his children, that we belong to him. And God has guaranteed these blessings to us by giving us the Holy Spirit as a pledge and talking about it over and over in the Word of God. We can know that we have eternal life. If we have the Son, we have life. And we honor God when we know that's true. We honor his word. We honor God by saying, I believe, God, what you said, because it's special what you've said to us in the Bible. Once there was a famous preacher who was dying. He was on his deathbed, and he wasn't sad about it. He was ready to die. And, you know, I've known people in our church who are like that. You know, they've gotten older and they can't do the things they used to do before, but they know Jesus. And when you go and visit them, many times I come back more encouraged, you know, more encouraged than when I went, because they're ready. They're ready to go be with Jesus. And it's not a sad thing at that point in their lives. And that's the way this guy was. He was looking forward to being with his Savior. And his son, who was often there with him, he was also in the ministry. And he had to leave his dad's side one Saturday evening to preach in another city, distant city, the next day. And he was kind of hesitating because his dad didn't look so good. You know that gray look when somebody gets close to going, you know, to be with their Lord? He had that look. And his dad noticed, and he said to his son, Son, I know you got a long way to go. You better get going. Don't worry about me. But if I should slip away while you're gone, you'll know where to find me. He was able to say that not because he was a preacher, not because he had lived a good life. Although sometimes people get hung up on those things. They think, hey, if I'm a preacher, I got my ticket punched, I'm going to be in heaven. If I lived a good life, better than him, I'm going to be in heaven. He didn't think that. He was able to say that because he had trusted Christ as his Savior. The verse says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you might know that you have eternal life. So those are the four explanations of God's testimony to us. The responsibility of the testimony lies upon us to believe and accept it. The content of the testimony, we talked about that. One source. It's personal. It's exclusive. The assurance of the testimony. He who has a son has life. And then finally, the purpose of the testimony, that you might know that you have eternal life. You know, in this world we live in, there are a lot of voices talking to us, aren't there? Voices. And the question for us today is, which voices are we listening to? Are we listening to the voices of men? Are we listening to the voice of God? It comes right at us, right directly at us from the Word of God. Which one are we listening to? And the final question I have for you is, you know, imagine that you would die today. And I know most people think they're not going to die today. But, you know, as a pastor, I get called and I go to places where people are dying sometimes, even outside of our church sometimes. A lot of people don't think they're going to die today. But what would happen if you died today and you were to stand before the gates of heaven and somebody would ask you why they should let you into heaven? What would be your response? There's only one right answer, isn't there? One answer will get that gate open for you. That answer is, I've placed my trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. He has gone to the cross and paid the penalty for me so that my sins might be forgiven, I might have eternal life. And I put my total trust in him. You jump out the window, you land in the net because you listen to your Father's voice. And you've shown that you're one of his sheep and you belong in that place. Otherwise, the door won't open. You won't get in. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that is so very, very precious for us and so real and so life-changing that it's just a wonderful book, the book. Lord, we just pray that you will bless us as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.